We're going to be in a different passage this weekend than in Mark's Gospel. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the passage is verses 22 through 41. How many of you are visiting with us today? Just some visitors? Just want to acknowledge you guys and glad to have you with us. Whatever churches you come from and represent, we're just glad to have you in the service. It's the Lord's house, the Lord's word, and I'm going to be reading the scripture within my sermon today, so let's ask the Lord for his help. Father God, again, Lord, we know that the word of God brings life, and today is a very special day and an important day, especially when we proclaim the gospel from your pulpit, Father, because we never know who may be in a service. There might be someone here today who will open up their heart to the Lord Jesus and be born again. And so, Father, this is a very important time. And so we come before you and we ask that by your anointing power and by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will just take control of this message and that it would be a real declaration of truth, of life, Lord. Lord, that we would be spiritually hungry and thirsty people for you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, now, I entitled my message, Have I Been Born Again? Have I Been Born Again? I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase, born again, but we'll be mentioning it a number of times in the message and also explaining it as well. Now, for some of you, when I ask you, if I were to say to you, are you born again, probably many in this service would say it'd be a very quick and easy answer. Yes, or you know what? There might be someone, though, that says no. Or there might be someone who even when they hear that, says, you know, I'm not really so sure about that. Do you know that many years ago, when the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to a church, now, when you think about church, you also often think about Christian people, but you know, there's lots of people who go to church. There are a lot of people at the beach service this morning, people who come from the community, and maybe that's why you're here today. Well, Paul, even when he was writing to a church, he said to them in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. And do you know what he told them to examine themselves about? He said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Now, Paul wasn't trying to wish any bad news on anyone, but he was asking a really important question. He was asking them whether or not they were born again. And I think that's an important question to ask on this Resurrection Sunday. Am I born again? Is that what would your answer be? Do you know the Bible says in Romans 2:16 that God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ? I sometimes when we're talking about like this question about being born again, I'll say to people, let me tell you something. We can fool others. We might even fool ourselves because the Bible says that the heart is actually deceitfully wicked. We could even be lying to ourselves, but something is really true, and that is God can't be fooled. God knows what's in everyone's heart. And so when I asked a question about being born again, there is someone other than yourself who really knows the answer, and that's God. God knows whether or not you are truly born again. Well, now, the message that we're looking at today, really, the passage really is a message. And we pick it up at verse 22 because the Apostle Peter is preaching to a crowd of people, just like we are here on this Resurrection Sunday. And he makes a really bold claim. He tells the people that the death of Jesus fulfilled God's sovereign plan. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Picking up at verse 22, here's what he said. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Now, it probably comes as no surprise that the person that Peter was preaching about was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the person that we proclaim from this pulpit this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is really only one person in this world who is truly our hope. The Bible says what? The Lord Jesus said, I am what? The way. What else? The truth. And what else? The life. The Lord Jesus is our real answer here. Peter, he says, you know, Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus from Nazareth, that man was attested by God through miracles and signs and wonders. He touched a lot of people's lives. He was their Messiah. And he says to them, notice there in verse 22, Peter says to them, you yourselves know it. Why did Peter say that? Because many of those people that were there listening to Peter that day had themselves also heard Jesus preach and teach. I imagine some of those people that were listening to Peter, many of them probably had been healed by the Lord Jesus as well. But then Peter says this about the Lord Jesus and about his death, and it's a big phrase. He says that it was done by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Wow, those are big words, aren't they? And he tells us in verse 23 that the Lord Jesus was delivered up by who? Well, first by the betrayal of Judas and by the arrest and the trial before the Romans, but also by the Jews themselves. And Peter tells us, let me tell you something, even though those people did that, God has forever known that that was going to take place and happen. Why is that so important? Because the cross of Calvary was why Jesus came. Jesus came to the cross of Calvary for you and me. What did the Lord Jesus say about his own life? I have come to seek and save who? The lost. What about you today? Are you lost or have you been found? Peter then says this, and boy, I'll tell you, these are strong words. He says, you, do you see that? You could underline that there in your Bibles. You nailed him to the cross. And it happened by what? By the hands of godless men and put him to death. Do you know what, Peter? He's calling people into account. He's saying to them, you did this. You took God's son. You nailed him to that tree. In other words, you have the blood of that man on your hands. You are as guilty as sin. Now, I'll tell you, as strongly as he said that to them, I have to say it to myself. You know what? I wasn't alive when Jesus was on the earth. But I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus not only died for the sins of those people who nailed him to Calvary, but the Lord Jesus also was nailed to Calvary for every one of us in this room. You understand what I say about that? It is to say that we're all accountable before God because he died for all of us in this room. And that's why when I asked the question in the beginning, have you been born again? That's an important question to ask people because that refers to what? Spiritual rebirth. Have you been reborn by God? And you know, there's only one way to do that, and that's by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, call upon the Lord and you will be saved. Now, why is that so important? Because the Bible also tells us that there is a day coming in the book of Revelation. It's actually called the Great White Throne Judgment. There is a day coming where everyone will have to stand before God. The Bible even says in Revelation that God has a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you're born again, where's your name? It's written in that book. Could you say this morning that your name, if God right now was to say, you know what, I'm going to look up your name. I guess we don't use our phone books like we used to. Now people just do it this way. But you know, back in the day when you used to have good vision, you could look into that really fat phone book, right, to try to find somebody's name. Seriously, if God right now was to open up the Lamb's Book of Life, would he find your name there? Would he find your name there? You know, there are some people, and as I said earlier, that fool themselves. Oh, they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, why are you a Christian? Well, I go to church. Does that make you a Christian? There are some people say, well, you know, I give money. I help people out. I'm a nice person. I've even talked to some people in life, and I've asked them, have you kept all the commandments? I've had people say to me, yes, I've kept all of them. And as soon as they tell me that, I says, you just broke one. You just lied to me. You know, all of us are in this situation. There are, as Jesus says, there are good trees and there are bad trees. There is good fruit and there is bad fruit. But the question is, and it's just the question that's on my heart, and I keep pounding it, is, are you born again? What is Resurrection Sunday for you? Why are you here this morning? Is it because you know the Lord and you really desire just to be in his house with God's people to worship him? And if so, that's wonderful. But are you just maybe here for some of you just because it's the religious thing to do? You know, like some people that go to the sunrise service every year, you know, we hope and pray the weather's going to be nice, but we never know what the sunrise is going to look like. And today the sun peaked out for a little bit and then it went back behind the clouds and then the rays of the sunshine were coming through the clouds. And some people go to the sunrise service because they just like watching the sun come up over the ocean. Now, I don't know if that's you. I don't know why people do that. I myself, personally, I can watch it from my bed. But you know, the thing of it is, you know, why are we here? Why are we in church? Do you understand that the whole thing about this whole weekend is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was nailed to Calvary, but not just by the Jews who cried, crucify him, crucify him. Not just by the Romans who beat him and put him on that tree, but you and I, we too, in our own way, have participated in the death of Christ. Now, Peter goes on, though, and picking up in verse 24, he says something more about Christ's death that brings us really to what today is about. In verse 24, he says, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. I love that verse. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet, and he knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we're all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth that which you both see and hear. For it wasn't David who ascended into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. This Jesus whom you crucified. I love a quote from Tom Constable. He says that with respect to Christ's resurrection, a higher court in heaven overturned the decision of the lower courts on earth. The truth of the gospel is the sinless one, the Lord Jesus, took upon himself our sins. He took upon himself my sins and your sins. Verse 24, though, tells us that the death could only kind of grab the Lord for but a moment, because death didn't have the power to keep Jesus in the grave. The righteous one died for the unrighteous. Death gained a momentary victory, but it was short-lived. And as cruel as the cross of Calvary was, Christ's resurrection to life was guaranteed. Did you hear what I just said? guaranteed. The grave couldn't hold him. And Peter goes on, and because he was speaking to Jewish people, he quoted from the Old Testament, from the Jewish scriptures. He quotes, for example, from Psalm 16, and he talks about, you know, this passage in Psalm 16 where David's talking about someone who will not go down in the grave and stay there and will rise again. And he says, well, you know what? We have King David's tomb. He's still, it hasn't been opened. He's still there. His body's still in the grave. So David couldn't have been talking about himself. Who was he talking about? Well, Peter says he was looking ahead in the future, and he knew that that person would be the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, down in verses 34 and 35, he quotes from another psalm, Psalm 100, a messianic psalm where it says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Peter again says, this actually isn't David talking about himself. This is David prophesying about the coming Messiah. In other words, if David's body is still in the grave, but where is the Lord Jesus? Where is he right now? Seated at the right hand of his Father and coming again. And I praise the Lord for that. But then Peter, in verse 36, presses his audience. And what does he say to those who are listening? And I could say it this way this morning. Therefore, let everyone in Grace Calvary Church know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you, Grace Calvary Church congregation, who wherever you are, you're here today, we have crucified our Savior, but he has risen from the dead. Because the grave couldn't hold him. And that's why he invites us to believe in him. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved, not because of anything I could do. Oh, when I've asked people and I'll say, you know, why do you think you might go to heaven? And oh, I've done this, I've done that. And I just think to myself, how can you think that way? How can anything in this life ever match up with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is nothing more precious than the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And so Peter, speaking to these people, he presents to them the gospel. He says, do you realize Jesus died for you? And he rose from the grave in victory. And so what happens next? Well, there's a reaction of the people in verse 37. Let's read it. And when they heard this, rather than picking up stones, I mean, he had just said to them, you crucified him. Rather than picking up stones or throwing tomatoes at them. Instead, it says what? And when they heard this, they were pierced to where? They were pierced to the heart. It pained them. It hurt them. It injured them because it suddenly dawned on them that their Messiah had come. The King had come. The very, very God himself had come. And instead of falling to their knees and worshiping him, they now were standing there with the blood of the Savior on their own hands. And so they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They understood what a mess they were in. You know what? There's probably someone here today, you're a mess. Maybe you don't even show it on the outside. But you know, sitting here as you've been listening, you know you're a sinner. You know that you've never believed in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Someone here today, your life may be, you might feel like that you're at the bottom of the barrel looking up. You might feel like your life is in the gutter right now. Listen to what Peter says. In verse 38, he says, repent. And let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And so then those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now let me tell you what has happened here. These are people who have come under conviction. Conviction of what? Of sin. Of sin. These are people who, like when we quote a verse that says, for the wages of sin is death, or another verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When these people heard Peter preaching, they suddenly realized that before God they were sinners and that they had killed their Savior. And so what does Peter say? He says, repent. Now, actually, that can be connected with another phrase in that verse. Repent for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, how would they do that? How do you do that? If you've offended someone, what do? You go and apologize. You own up to what you did, right? I know I offended you. I know what I did was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Do you know that's actually what Peter was saying to the people? He was saying, look, if you know that you're on the outside with God, and if you know and understand that you're not born again, the way to be born again, to be spiritually reborn by the Spirit of God, is to say to God, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And then who do you trust in to do that? The Lord Jesus. Peter, by the way, doesn't even mention the Lord Jesus in this part, other than to say, and then go and be baptized. What is that? Well, baptism by water. Go and make your public profession of faith. If you've believed the Lord in your heart, live it out. Declare it. Go get wet. You know, because when you are baptized, you are what? You are immersed in the death of Christ, and you're raised in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the pattern of Scripture. What happened that day? 3,000 people. Do you notice it says souls? 3,000 souls. When they heard the gospel message, when they heard a man tell them the truth, that they were sinners, that they had crucified the Lord Jesus, and that they needed to repent before God. And I believe, by the way, that's not just a decision of the mind. Book of Romans says it's something that comes from the heart. They repented before God. They cried out to God. What were those people doing? They were crying out to God because they were pierced from their hearts. And they were crying out, Father, Father God, please forgive me. Forgive me for what I have done. And I have to ask you today, have you done that? Have you done that? Have you ever come to a place in your life where before God you have, in thinking of what the Lord Jesus has done for you, have you ever gotten before God and said, Father, forgive me of my sins. I trust in your Son to be my Lord and Savior. Now, can you answer that question? What would your answer be? It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between whether or not your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. With every head bowed and eyes closed. This resurrection weekend, there lots of people go to church and for all sorts of reasons, but what's brought you here today? Let me just ask a question, which I hope is easy for most of you. If you know that you're born again, would you raise your hand? Thank you. And if you know that you're not born again, or you're not sure, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you, sir, for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Do you know that today, right now, where you are, my friend, today can be your day of salvation? Would you make it today? Would today be your day of salvation? If you would want today to be born again, would you raise your hand? And I'm going to pray with you. You'll pray right where you are. Would you want to know the Savior today? Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray, Lord, for this gentleman who is honest enough to say he's not sure, he doesn't think that he is, I pray, Lord, that right from where he's sitting, he will simply call out to you, Father God, and say, Father God, today I ask you to forgive me. And today I trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. Dear friend, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. It's just that certain. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. For though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, my friend, that's you who raised your hand, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And I pray, Lord, for this gentleman that he opened his heart to you, and that, Father, even right now, your Spirit would testify with his Spirit that he's been born again. And I pray, too, Lord, if there's anyone else here who maybe was shy or embarrassed a little bit or maybe afraid to put their hand up, and maybe there's some others here this morning, Lord, who've also asked you to be their Lord and Savior. I pray, too, for them, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, there would be a great harvest of souls this weekend. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.